Yeah, so I use this catchy title, hopefully, to rope you in to get here. You're all young people, either studying in school or college or starting to work. And this is on many people's minds, including myself. Every day we are distracted with the pursuit of something in this world, and the world is teaching us how you can get rich fast. Our whole pursuit, when we study, the subjects we study are so that we can get a good job, be successful, earn money, take care of a family, have enough in our retirement and our provident fund so that we can make the most as soon as possible. And the world is full of advice of how to get rich in this lifetime. But as we know, and you know, this is a trick title, as you know, for those of us who have had an encounter with Jesus, true riches mean something else, and something we need to be reminded of every day, that the pursuit of eternal treasure, of treasure that's going to last through eternity, is much greater. But it's unfortunate the way of the world makes us, distracts us with the pursuit of something that's not going to last. And we have to be reminded every day of treasure that will last. So I want to speak a little bit about how we can get rich with heavenly treasure in this lifetime. But before I talk about that, let's think about this life, every pursuit that you have in this life, whether it be in your studies, in your work, making money. It's really like a game of Monopoly with toy money or a video game. You know, there's many video games where you collect a lot of gold coins. But then after you play that video game, get through a few levels, eventually you lose your life and the video game is over. And your gold coins that you collected mean nothing because they were video game gold coins. And so it's important for us to realize that all of our pursuits here on earth, the Lord has us here in our college, in our school for a purpose, in our workplace for a purpose, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But if it was just to pursue those video game gold coins or that Monopoly money, then, and if that we make that our pursuit, then we've lost out on the true treasure, the real gold coins that are going to last forever. Imagine if I told you that there was $1,000, or if you're in India, maybe 1 lakh rupees, that's hidden somewhere in your house. Every day, there's a new pot of money, 1 lakh rupees, bills folded crisply, somewhere hidden under your bed, mattress, maybe in your bathroom, maybe on your couch, in the table, somewhere. It's hidden there, and it disappears by the end of the day. What would you do? If it were me, I would probably quit my day job and spend all my day looking for that, or at least make sure before I leave to work that I find that first, and then I'd go to work. But really, if I had that sort of amount that I could find every day, and then the next day there was a new amount hidden somewhere else, that would be enough for my life. I could be able to live on that comfortably for the rest of my life. And that's the reality. A lot of us are missing out on the fact that the Lord God has $1,000, 1 lakh rupees, that would be far more, something so valuable for us every day if we would just go out and seek it. So I want to start by sharing a couple of verses which talk about attaining all the wealth. Imagine attaining all the wealth that you can possibly attain. This is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3 says, and think about this speaking to us, that your hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining all the wealth. There's that phrase I talked about, attaining all the wealth that comes from the full assurance, understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. God has a mystery for us that can result in us attaining all of the wealth. And what is that mystery? That mystery is Jesus Christ himself. Knowing Jesus Christ himself more and more each day is really the wealth that we want to attain to. It's not something we can attain to on one day when we give our life to Jesus. There's so much more about Jesus to learn. But this verse tells us there is a wealth that we can, all the wealth that we can attain from Jesus Christ himself. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus, imagine in Jesus Christ are hidden treasures, the true wisdom and knowledge. So what are you going to school and college for? Yeah, there's an earthly knowledge and wisdom that will help you in your workplace that you need. But if that is the true wisdom and knowledge that you're pursuing, then you have missed out on the true hidden treasure that is in Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to pursue Jesus Christ like a treasure hunt each day and say, Lord, you have something more of your character to reveal to me today. And that's the treasure that I want to be after. Like we sang today. I don't know if the sisters got my topic ahead of time, but it was great to see that the song that we sang was saying, I will not boast in my wealth or my might or in human wisdom's fleeting light. The pursuit of human wisdom is not what I'm going to boast in, on my, in the wealth that I accrue, because that's not going to last, but I'm going to boast in my Redeemer, in Jesus, because Jesus is my true treasure. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 that we are not to store up treasure on this earth, but to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven, where nothing can destroy that. And it says where your heart is, there, that's where your treasure will be. How many of you know that you can get to heaven? You can get to heaven, but miss out on this treasure. Miss out on a reward that the Lord has for you. I'll read a few more verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15 say, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that's the foundation. If you've given your life to Jesus, the foundation that we have is Jesus Christ. But what do we build on that foundation? What do we accrue? What is this that we build on this, that foundation? Some of us build on gold, silver, and precious stones, verse 12. Others on wood, hay, and straw. And each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire, and fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. And if any man's work is burnt up, what is it that gets burnt up? Wood, hay, and straw. We can picture that as the pursuits of this world. Those are the things that will get burnt up, even if we've given our life to Jesus. And we will suffer loss, but we ourselves will be saved. So we'll be very careful not to lose money when we're, you know, investing it in the stock market or in a bank account. But here, what it says is, if we pursue the wrong things in this world, we will suffer loss when we get to heaven, even though we ourselves may be saved. But there is a gold, silver, and precious stones that will last forever in Christ himself, on top of this foundation, they're pursuing a knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to last forever. And so I personally want to, when I get to heaven, I don't want to just get to heaven with this foundation. I want to be able to have this gold, silver, and precious stones, this reward of knowing Jesus, knowing more of Jesus through my life more intimately. That is a reward that I will have when I get to heaven. And for those of you who are students, think about wisdom and knowledge, what it is that you're pursuing. There's a set of verses in James chapter 3 which talk about the true wisdom that we should be pursuing. James chapter 3, if you turn there, James chapter 3 verses 13 to 17 says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if any of you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. So if you think about what it is that you, your classmates are pursuing, what is it that people in the workplace are pursuing? Really, if you think about it, almost everybody in the workplace is pursuing selfish ambition to be the most successful in life, the most rich in life. And if they're not able to get that, they compare themselves against someone else who is ahead of them, and they're jealous of them. So there you see those two words, those two phrases, jealousy and selfish ambition. And it's amazing that the Bible says those, that pursuit is not only earthly and natural, it is demonic. To be pursuing that kind of wisdom that comes from this earth is stuff of the demons, that we're selfishly pursuing our own ambition or jealous of another person. But instead, the wisdom that comes from above, verse 17 says, the wisdom from above is pure. This is the life of Jesus that I want to get to know every day. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, steadfast and unwavering, full of good fruits, and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy meaning there is no pretense about me. And so, think about it. What is the knowledge and wisdom that you are pursuing when you're studying? Yes, the Lord wants us to be have a good job to take care of our families, but the true wisdom and knowledge that he wants us to pursue in this lifetime is this fruit of the Spirit. This is the true wisdom that he wants us to pursue, to be peaceful, to be gentle, to be reasonable, to be full of mercy, to be honest without hypocrisy, and to be steadfast in our lives. So I want to share today three ways that you can build a real permanent heavenly treasure that lasts forever. Three ways that you can get rich in this lifestyle, in this lifetime, building on this foundation of giving your life to Jesus. The first is the Word of God. I want to talk a little bit about the Word of God and how important it is. We've heard about how we must read the Word of God, but I want to challenge you today to really examine your life, whether the Word of God has become indispensable to you. There's a verse in Psalm chapter 28, verse 1, which says, David says, to you, O Lord, I call out to you every day. Do not be deaf to me. If you are silent to me, I might as well die. That's essentially the paraphrase of that verse. If you are silent to me today, I might as well die. How many of you have that attitude that if I do not hear from the Lord today, I might as well die? It's indispensable. I can't live without hearing from God. And when I say hearing from God, and when I say the living Word of God, it's not just the Bible. It's a sermon we could hear. It could be the daily devotional that many of you are listening to, that is published from CFC. It could be the Holy Spirit speaking to us on our bed or in the shower or when we're driving to work. That is the living Word of God. It's not just the Bible, but it should be also the Bible, because that's where our truth comes from. But the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us beyond that as well. And imagine having this attitude where David didn't even have written scriptures. He had whatever his fathers had passed on, you know, repeating what he had learned from his forefathers. And he said, if I don't hear from you, I might as well die. And for us who have been given the grace of the new covenant, how much more should we treasure and the luxury of having the Bible on our fingertips, on the phone and in books? How much more should we treasure this Word of God? Psalms 119 has a few beautiful verses about the Word of God that I want to just read for you really quickly. Verse 72 says of Psalms 119, it says, the law of your mouth, which is the Word of God, is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Just like what we talked about, I'm not interested in these video game gold and silver pieces. I'm interested in the law of God's mouth that he has. Verse 127 says, I love your commandments above gold. Imagine loving these things that seem difficult, that the commandments that are in the Bible, but to love them more than gold. Yes, above fine gold. Verse 162 says, I rejoice at your word as of one who finds great treasure. And my favorite one, which is verse 11, if you go to the beginning of the chapter, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Your word I treasure in my heart that I may not sin against you. So if you think about, are you struggling with a sin today? Are you being beset with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh? There's a sin that is plaguing you that you're unable to overcome. This verse tells me that if I treasure the word of the Lord, then I will not sin against the Lord. And perhaps the reason that you're still struggling with the sin is you have not truly treasured the word of God. So I challenge you to change your attitude towards the Word of God today and say, Lord, the Word of God is what's going to preserve me from sinning. And I want to treasure that in my heart. The Bible says, Yeah, I want to love his commandments as of their gold and silver, but yet the Bible says his commandments are not burdensome in 1 John. And the reason they're not burdensome is because God provides his Holy Spirit. If we cry out to, the Holy Spirit is just me crying out to God for help in my helplessness, and he will give me his Holy Spirit. I like to think of the Holy Spirit just being the answer to my cry for help. If I just say, help, then his commandments will not be burdensome because he will give me the power to overcome that sin. And so I want to have this attitude of where I treasure the word of God. One of the things I decided several years ago was that I would not leave a chapter of the Bible without the Lord speaking to me. And even if you get a chance to just read one chapter a day, say, Lord, I do not want to leave this chapter until you speak personally to me. Don't read the Bible as if it's a chore because your parents told you to do so, because your elders told you to do so, or because you feel in your conscience that you need to do so. If you do that as a routine and leave without the Lord speaking to you, you have missed out. You've just done a duty and you have not found the treasure. You've just done what, oh, I'm supposed to read my Bible. Okay, well, let me read my Bible. Read it slowly, read the verses slowly, and read. Sometimes I'm able to get through just half a chapter. Or I'm stuck on a verse saying, Lord, I don't understand this verse. But there's a treasure hidden in this verse. Speak to me. For those of you who might find it hard to read the old English, read the New Testament from a Living Bible, from the Message Bible, and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me in a new way that is practically applicable to my life today in the workplace or in my college or the struggle I'm dealing with or my relationship with my parents. Speak to me. Help me find this treasure that's hidden. Help me attain to this great wealth and this hidden treasure that is hidden in you, this mystery that's revealed in your word. The Bible says the one who studies the Bible like a scribe, and if they become a disciple, Jesus says in Matthew, he will bring out treasures old and new. And so if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, and you also want to be like that scribe who studies the scripture, the Lord has a full treasure trove available to you. The second thing I want to share about is that is a way that you can build a real heavenly treasure is got to do with your school and your workplace, and that's a faithfulness in that school and workplace. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 13 says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, verse 11, if you have been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust true riches to you? What it's saying here is there's some true riches that the Lord has for me. The true riches, the true heavenly riches that he has for me. But if I'm not faithful with the little, with the unrighteous wealth, which is the money of today, then he will not entrust these riches, the true riches, to me. And if you've not, verse 12, if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? For no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. And what I get out of this is this passage is talking particularly about being faithful with money. But for those of you who are students, you're studying in order to get a job to earn that money. For those of you who are working in the workplace, you are working, and in a way you're dealing with another's money. You're dealing with your company's money. That's what it talks about in verse 12. You're being faithful with another's money in the workplace. And if I'm not able to be faithful with that, if I'm not able to be faithful with my studies, with my parents are paying money for me to study in a lot of cases, or I've taken a loan to pay for my education. If I'm not able to be faithful with that and say, Lord, I want to do this as if it were unto you, then the Lord is not going to entrust me with the true heavenly riches. So I want you to take this word carefully and say, the Lord does not have something far greater for you in church or in ministry, unless you've chosen to be faithful with this small thing, which is this phase in your life where he has you working, the phase in your life where he has you studying and saying, I want to be faithful to the Lord in my workplace. I want to be faithful to the Lord in studying in my school and college. And then he will entrust these true riches, which could be something that is a far greater eternal value, ministry in the church, greater knowledge, greater intimacy with Jesus. But it has to start with faithfulness with little. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, this is a verse that I often overlooked because it talked about slaves, and we don't see slavery much today. But when I see a verse like for slaves today, I think of it as applying to myself as being a worker in the workplace or a student in college. So if you turn with me Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, and I'm going to replace slaves with worker or students. So it says here, workers, be obedient to those who are your bosses, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Do you know we're supposed to have a fear and trembling in the workplace or in college to our professors or to our teachers? What is that fear and trembling? Is that fear towards the teachers or towards the bosses? No, that fear and trembling, it says, is in sincerity of your heart to Christ. It is a fear and trembling that we would please Christ, and not a fear and trembling towards our boss or towards our professors. And verse 6, and this is why this is important. Verse 6 says, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, or workers of Christ, or students towards Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So my fear and trembling in my workplace is not to be towards my boss, but it's to be towards Jesus Christ, lest I displease him. And verse 7 says, with goodwill render service as to the Lord, not to men. And it's interesting, it says this verse in verse 6, of eye service or men pleasers. I found this really convict me. When I go into work, am I a little bit more careful when my boss is paying attention to saying, okay, that's what's called eye service. I have a fear of him. Okay, he's looking at what I'm doing. He's examining. Okay, he's copied on this email, so I need to be aware of it. Or when the teacher is looking, then my fear and trembling is towards my teacher, my professor, or towards my boss. It is not towards Christ. Whereas when my boss is not looking or my boss is not paying attention, if I'm able to be consistently faithful as if I was working for Christ, verse 7, as if I was rendering service as to the Lord and not to men, then I will truly, what is the reward from that? Verse 8 says, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord. Again, it's this treasure that I'm looking for, this paycheck that I'm looking for that is not from my boss, but it's from the Lord. And that changes the way I look at when I go into work. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as if to the Lord and not to men. And so no longer do I live in fear and trembling of my boss. I say, I will live in fear of the Lord, knowing that the Lord has something far greater to give me. The paycheck, when I go into work every day, I'm not going to say, okay, I'm going to work hard here to earn a paycheck so that I can take care of my family, so that I can get married one day and take care of my family, so that I can serve the Lord. No, going into work or studying is your service to the Lord in the season. If you're doing it in fear and trembling before the Lord, knowing that the Lord will reward you with that faithfulness in the little that he has you in your workplace. So don't think of, oh, how do I focus on studying, or how do I focus on working and have enough time for the Lord? Think of it this way. Your time in school, your faithfulness in school, and your faithfulness in the workplace, working, is your service to God. That is time with God. That is time where you can receive back from the Lord what he has from you. Don't look at it as two separate things. Look at it as part of your service to the Lord, and it will change the way you approach your work. It'll change the way you approach studying at school as well. And the third and final thing I want to share about how we can build opportunities we have to build up a treasure, heavenly treasure, is our trials that we might be going through. Think about whatever trial you may be going through. You might be dealing with a difficult boss, or exams that are coming up, or a health issue, or maybe the Lord is asking you to give up something in your life, a relationship, or you're facing a lot of peer pressure from worldly friends, maybe your parents. Maybe they're not Christian, or maybe they are Christian, but they're putting a lot of pressure on you, or being tough on you, or you have a difficult relationship with them in the way, in what you want to study versus what they want to study, or what they're expecting of you. Or maybe you're waiting a long time to get married, and that's a trial that the Lord is leading you and saying, you're waiting for the Lord to provide that spouse for you. All of these can be trials. And every day we're faced with different trials. And here's what the Bible says about trials. Trials are not meant to be things that we just endure. They're not meant to just be transition seasons of saying, oh, let me get past this, and then I can really get the good stuff. Then I can focus on the things of heaven. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 says, momentary light affliction, that is the small temporary trials. A temporary trial could be something that lasts for a day, a week, a couple of years, but it's still temporary compared to eternity. This momentary light affliction. And it says light because compared to what Jesus had to go through for us, it's nothing. None of our trials are that major in nature compared to what Jesus went through for us. But this momentary trial is producing in me an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the things which you see every day, your workplace, the money you get, your bank account balance, those are things that you see. You log in and you see that. Those, it's saying, are temporal. They're not going to last forever. But the things which you do not see, which we talked about, the character of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, the wisdom from above, which is peace, purity, steadfastness, kindness, gentleness, those are the things we don't see. Those are the things which are eternal. And it says, In verse 17, it says, these light trials are producing for us something that we cannot see. And I like to think about this. It says eternal weight of glory. What do you measure in weight? You measure things like gold and silver in weight. And based on its weight, it has a value. I like to think of it this way. Every small trial that I have in my life, or big trial, it's a chance for me to get a weight of gold. It's a chance for me to get a gold coin. And I would be foolish to be praying to the Lord and say, Lord, please deliver me from this trial so that I can serve you after that and so that I can have another nice, comfortable life serving you. Instead, I should be praying, Lord, yes, deliver me from this trial, but don't let this trial go away without me receiving my gold coin. I want to receive my gold coin out of this trial. I want to receive that gold coin of the life of Jesus. A little bit more patience, less anxiety, more trust in you, and less stress in the situation because I have a Heavenly Father. More joy and peace, things that my friends and colleagues and brothers and sisters in the church can see. And they can see that, oh, he's got a gold coin. He's rich. He's spiritually wealthy. He's got some gold coins that I don't have. I want those gold coins of patience and peace. And so it changes the way we pray and the way we approach these trials. So the next time you are struggling with something difficult, or even if you're struggling with a difficult trial right now in your life, change your prayers to the Lord and say, Lord, yes, I want you to deliver me from this trial, but don't deliver me from this trial until I've received my gold coin out of this trial. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9 says, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, you can turn there. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith comes through these various trials. 1 Peter 1, 6, verse 7 now. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What happens when I go through this trial and I have faith in Christ in this trial? I get something far more precious than gold. I get my heavenly gold coin. What is that heavenly gold coin? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is, I like to think of it as Jesus Christ being revealed in me for me to see, and for those around me to see a little bit more of Jesus being revealed in me. That's, and he gets the glory, he gets the praise and the honor, because Jesus Christ being revealed in me, that's the gold coin I want to pursue. And that's the proof of faith that I want to be seen through me in these various trials. And though you have not seen him, verse 8, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So I like to think about it this way, that each trial has an opportunity for salvation. But it's a beautiful picture where in verse 8, Peter says that I can have this joy. Imagine having a joy that cannot even be expressed. This passage started out in verse 6 talking about a trial. And can you imagine that a short distance further from that trial, I have this joy that I cannot even express. And that's what the Lord has in store for us if we would cry out to him and say, Lord, I want to have the proof of my faith be revealing of Jesus in these trials. I want to get this gold coin out of this. And the Lord will supply you in his presence with a joy that no earthly happiness or no earthly pleasure can provide. And it's a deep-rooted joy that even despite while you're going through that trial, you will have a peace and a joy that can last. And when you come out of that trial, you will still have that joy. But it's not because you came out of the trial. It's because Christ was revealed to you in that trial. If you think, you know, many of you know the story of Daniel and his friends. Not Daniel, but his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fire, they came out, and they were not even burnt. The cords that were holding them were burnt up, but they themselves were not burnt. But when I read that story, we don't have to turn there. When I read that story, the biggest miracle, what do you think is the biggest miracle of that trial? That they went into the fire and they came out unburnt? Most people think that is the biggest miracle. To me, as I meditated on that story, the biggest miracle was not that they came out not being burnt. The biggest miracle was when they were in the fire, they had an opportunity to fellowship with the Son of God. It says, a person appeared in the fire that was like the Son of God, and I believe that was Jesus with them over there. And so, when you're going through your fire right now, the big miracle the Lord has for you, whatever fire you're going through, is not to bring you out of that fire unburnt. Yes, that's a miracle in itself, but that's a smaller miracle. The bigger miracle is he has a revelation. He has meet with Jesus in that trial. Have an option to meet with Jesus in that trial, and that will be a far bigger miracle than him delivering you out of that trial and keeping you unburnt. Jesus said to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and 22, we know the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. He says, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. This is a man who had kept all of the commandments. He says, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But at these words, the rich young ruler was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much. He was one who owned much property. And so the Lord may be asking us today, obviously, you know, there's a spiritual message here. We're not meant to give away all of our money, but we're meant to give up our attachment to the things of this world, our attachment to the relationships of this world, to our attachment to the wealth of this world. And that's what the Lord is asking of us today. But do we see the look of love in Jesus? Verse 21 says, the first thing he says is before he tells him to give away this attachment that he had to these earthly pleasures, he looked at him and Jesus had a love for him. And today the Lord is looking at you, and when he's asking you to make a difficult decision or he's convicting you to give up something in your life or give up this attachment to you, in the midst of that, don't miss out on the look of love that Jesus has for you. And if you focus on that look of love, then you won't be saddened like this rich young ruler who was focusing on what he had to give up instead of focusing on Jesus' face and saying, Lord, I see you telling me to do this, but I see the look of love in your face, and that means more to me. And I see that in this command, this difficult command that seems difficult to me, I see that you're doing it out of love for me, and then I'll be willing to do it. There's a song that Keith Green, some of you may who listen to Christian music, Keith Green was a very singer who sang in the 70s and the 80s. He died at a young age, but he was a very biblically based singer that sang based on scriptures, unlike many of the singers today, where it's a more, you know, just an emotional song and not really scripturally based. He has a song where he says, I'll just read a lyric from one of his songs. It says, "He brought me low so I could know the way to reach the heights, to forsake my dreams, to forsake my self-esteem, and to give up all my rights. And with each one of these things, these rights that I lay down, a jewel is placed in my crown. Because his love, the things above, is all we'll ever need. He's brought me here where things are clear, where my trials are turned to gold." So may every trial in your life be something that the Lord can turn into gold. Cry out to the Lord and he will help you. I'll close with this final verse in Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 6 says, the Lord will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation. The Lord has a true wealth for you. Not the wealth that this world has to offer. It's a wealth of salvation. It's not just a one-time salvation, but it's a daily salvation out of a situation or trial you might be going through. It's a daily salvation from his word. It's a daily salvation in being faithful in your workplace and in your school or college. He has a wealth of salvation and he has a stability in your life despite your ups and downs that you might be going through in difficult situations. The Lord has a stability. He wants to keep you consistent and steadfast. A wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the treasure. And so when we talked about fear and trembling before the Lord, see that as the Lord wants to preserve you from sin, from pursuing things that are going to distract you from pursuit of him. And that's the fear of the Lord that I want to pursue. That's the love of Jesus, the hatred of sin that I want to pursue that should be my eternal treasure. So I hope what I've shared with you has encouraged you, challenged you to treasure the word of God. Like your life depends on it. Like, I don't want to leave today without hearing from you, Lord. I can't breathe today. I cannot live today without hearing from you. I'm spiritually bankrupt if I don't hear from you. I want to be faithful in my school or workplace, knowing that that is the way that you will entrust true riches to me. And I don't want to miss out on these opportunities where the trials I'm going through can be something that I can turn into gold. I don't want to have a trial come my way without an opportunity to have this amazing miracle of seeing you and seeing your look of love in that trial. Amen.